Good to be here again tonight. Appreciate Pastor Cooley having me on his world famous TV show today. And we had a good time, had a good talk. Yeah, I would like for the guy to step forward. That's perfect. No, that's perfect. I would like for the guy to step forward who said that I believe that you're saved by tithing. I don't think you would be hard pressed to find a sermon or a teaching that I've done in the last 10 years where I said the word tithing or tithe. I mean, I don't talk about it. I don't press it on people. I don't push it on people. I believe in it. I believe it's biblical. I believe it's right. I believe it's for the support of the ministry, not what other people say. All that money should go to the poor. No, the preacher's got to be paid somehow. The Levites, they were not allowed to own land, so that's what it was for. That's right. That's right. Then you'll get saved. So, no. But, yeah, I learned a long time ago when I first started doing things online. You know, people come at you and they make all kinds of accusations. And my nature was to try to go after them, to disprove them. But I thought, you know, if I build myself a reputation by being consistently a certain way for so many years, then let the crazies and the nuts and the fools say whatever they want to about me. Amen. I've got a reputation for this is what I say, this is what I believe in, this is who I am, and I'm not worried about what people believe about me. If somebody wants to believe that about me, it's because they don't really know me. We have a family here, Brian and Debbie, that have followed our ministry. How long?
6 years.
6 years? Where were you before that? Because I was doing stuff longer than 6 years.
LCMS Lutheran Church.
Listen to him. The Lutheran Church. Yeah. Yeah, you betcha. So, but they've come down and visited us. They spent time with us. They know us. They know the people at our church. And a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, the Bible says. And that's always stuck in my mind. I've learned from good men of God, but I've also learned from bad men of God. And the preachers that turned bad, you watch them. And I've told God, God, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to turn out that way. I don't want to be dismissed in shame, you know, one of these days. I don't want that. So, you know, you make a name for yourself or you let God do it, and then you don't have to worry about what everybody says. While I'm doing this, turn 1 Corinthians 15. And then while I'm saying this, I want to say thank you to Pastor Cooley and his family for their graciousness, their friendship over the years, and to Old Paths Baptist Church for hosting this, and for all you good people. Thanks to Ryan and Nicole for allowing us to sleep in their driveway.
Erica.
Oh, it's Erica. Yeah. I thought it was Nicole. I'm sorry.
Don't tell Erica about Nicole.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sleeping in their driveway.
Well, at least you were last night.
Yeah. If you have a driveway, I'd sure like to. No, we pulled our. The pastor got me the, I guess, same hotel we were in last year, which was a nice place. But I decided I'd rather lay in my own germs than somebody else's.
Yeah.
So I pulled my camper up here, and those Ford Transits, man, you ought to get you one of those. Number one, it's 15 passenger, so it'll hold all your kids. And man, it's got power. Because that I would look down on these long stretches. I'd be doing 80, and I'm going, whoa, slow down. So we pulled the camper up here. We are comfortable. We're living like bachelors in there. So yeah, we're doing a... Yeah. My wife is probably rolling her eyes going, I'm going to have to clean that one. So anyway, I just wanted to say thank you to everybody. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. I may have referenced this verse before, but it says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, I'm going to tie some things together tonight for you so you understand how the enemy works. Notice up on the screen, I've got the name of, does anybody recognize this name? It's a car company. Okay. The logo is interesting to me. I'm into symbols. I speak the language of symbols. So think of what the sons of God and the daughters of men did and what came from them. Okay, so that's essential. And if you look at this part of the symbol, notice one's pointing up and one's pointing down. Okay, in Masonic symbolism, every time you have something pointing up and something pointing down, then it represents, pointing up is heaven, down is earth, and they're usually combined in one object. So the illustration of Baphomet, where he's holding his hands like this. Okay? That is the union of heaven and earth in the same body. Okay? Heaven is not earth. God made that clear. As high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how high I am above you, and that's how high my thoughts are above your thoughts. So heaven is not earth. Earth is not heaven. The two are different, and yet they're going to be combined into one body. But then notice the... Let me get this here. Notice this. Those symbols. It's a hexagon. And it has six sides. So what you have is 666. Okay? Now... Am I making that up? Okay. Let's see here. And by the way, their cars are ugly. They look like milk cartons. Yeah. So anyway. But notice all these. Here, 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 here. All of a sudden now, that symbol just pops up everywhere. I mean, like, overnight. It's everywhere, okay? So, we talked about the meaning of the number six. Last night, I'm not going to get into that, but it's the beast was made on day six, and so was man. So, I'm not going to deal much with that. Revelation 13 is the beast, and his number is 666. It's the number of a beast and the number of a man together. 666. Sons of God, daughters of men, the giants were the product of that. So that's part of what the number six represents. Remember, Goliath was 6 cubits tall, 600 shekels of iron. His brother had 6 toes, 6 fingers, and so on. Okay? So notice this. Here's Shaq, Shaquille O'Neal, and he's doing commercials for Gold Bond. And look at their logo. Okay? It's 6 hexagons with, so that when you have 6 hexagons connected like in a circle, the middle one is the hidden one. Okay? And what's interesting is that there's only 3 places in the whole Bible where the number 666 shows up. And one of them is in 1 Kings 10. Now, the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 score and 6 talents of gold. So I have to believe that God didn't just accidentally throw that number in there and then link it with Solomon's gold. I think it's on purpose. Now, I don't quite know what that purpose is, but I know that there's a story in the Bible where people 8 gold. Remember that story? Yep. Moses took the golden calf. Look at verse, if you turn to Exodus 32, you can underline this. Verse 20, he took the calf which they had made, burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods, plural. Plural gods. It's what we talked about last night. Which shall go before us, for as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me, and then I cast it in the fire, and there came out this calf. So the calf represented their gods. So they took their gods, Moses ground it into powder, tossed it into the water, made them partake. So like in practically every religion, there's this idea of eating the god. What is transubstantiation? Or what Lutherans believe, consubstantiation, which is pretty much the same thing. That you're eating God. You're eating a God. You're eating a God that was sacrificed in front of an idol. Because that's what the sacrifice of the Mass is. They're taking the bread, which they say is Christ. They are re-crucifying Christ all over again. And they're doing it in front of an idol, which, according to Acts 15, the Jerusalem Council, we're not supposed to eat that. Right. We're not supposed to drink the blood that's in that cup, because they say it literally is the blood of Christ. We're not supposed to drink that. We're not supposed to eat the food sacrificed to idols either. So don't go to the Catholic Mass anymore, ever again.
Amen.
Amen. You're probably not, but anyway. Remember a show called The Golden Girls? Here's what's interesting. Do what?
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Let me explain a little bit about alchemy. Alchemy is an ancient pseudoscience, but it's actually where modern chemistry comes from. Modern chemistry stems from the ancient alchemists. And the alchemists were trying to do what? Does anybody know?
Transmutation.
Turning lead into gold. But it wasn't really about turning lead into gold. What it was really about was turning mortals to immortals. Gods. Okay, you remember when Dan Brown wrote the Da Vinci Code? Dan Brown got a hold of some research that was done in a book that, and it was based upon a document that everybody said was fake, the Dossier Secret. And it listed a secret society called the Priory of Zion, and it gave all the names of the people, of the men who were the Grand Master of the Priory of Zion. Leonardo da Vinci was supposed to be one of those men who was the secret master of a secret society called the Priory of Zion. But they said the Priory of Zion doesn't really exist, that the whole document was a fake. Yeah. Do you remember what the names of these girls were on the show? Rose. Does that ring a bell? Sophia. Does that ring a bell? What are the other? Huh? Go ahead. It's okay. Blanche. What? Devereaux. You know where they got that name? It's on the list of the Priory of Zion. Blanche Devereaux, wow. Right here.
Wow.
was an alchemist Golden Girls, you get it? Was an alchemist. And so was Nicholas Flamel. Nicholas Flamel shows up in the Harry Potter books. Okay? They're teaching children alchemy, turning humans into gods. Okay? Wow is right. All right, here's a magazine article or a magazine advertisement. It's advertising appliances. What do you see there?
Six.
Yep. And here's what this... This is from a Computer Shopper, October 2016. Which, it's a magazine I got. And what it's advertising is these appliances now are going to start being smart appliances. This is back 4 years ago. Do we have smart appliances now? Back in 2016, the reason why she's making a number six is that they were saying that this would be called sixth sense technology. Okay, and what is sixth sense? What is the sixth sense? Okay, if you don't know what I'll... Here's the... Notice the FLIR symbol, forward-looking infrared radar. Notice their symbol. Up and down. And it, they advertise it as the world's what? See all these drones? So why stop at five senses? This is an article I have. Tech is letting us hack our brains to give us superpowers. What are the five senses? Okay. So what would a sixth sense be? Okay. It would be knowing something that you didn't see, hear, smell, taste, or touch, but it's in your brain. A sixth sense. This guy here hacked his body, and a company called North Sense. Where's Mount Zion? On the sides of the... Right. So here's the company, North Sense, your new cyborg artificial sense, a reality. So remember what I said Elon Musk was making. Elon Musk is the owner of PayPal, so he made his billions. So he's the one that said AI is going to reach a point to where it's going to be a god, and it's like the demon apocalypse. It's going to kill everybody. So his solution to it is... Let's make a neural network to give people a sixth sense. Let's make a mesh that you can put in your brain that will make you and your mind accessible to the World Wide Web. Oh, designing your evolution. Okay? Man's evolving, right? Okay? Simple, made for you. Becoming a cyborg is not a vision anymore. It is now your choice. Design your evolution. So the Wikipedia article on ESP, also called Sixth Sense, includes reception of information not gained through the recognized physical senses, but sensed with the mind. The term was adopted by Duke University psychologist J.B. Ryan to denote psychic abilities such as telepathy, clairaudience, clairvoyance, and their transtemporal operation as precognition or retrocognition. I'll explain these. Any information or input into the mind that is transmitted without the aid of the five senses. Okay? So, if we perceive something within just our thoughts, what are we supposed to do with it? Test it. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. By the way, aren't you glad that right now your minds aren't tapped in to Facebook? Because you would be freaking out. It's the zombie apocalypse! 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Yeah, amen. So, a vision is a visual or audible thought that enters the mind without the use of the senses. You didn't see it with your eyes, hear it with your ears, touch it with your fingers, smell it with your nose, taste it with your tongue. So Daniel 4:10, thus were the visions of mine head and my bed. I saw and behold, Daniel had one of those. Okay? But we have to be careful. Ezekiel 12:24, for there shall be no more any vain vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. What is divination? Divination is ESP. Extra sensory, five senses, perception. Okay? So, have you not seen a vain vision? Have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. Micah 3:6, therefore night shall be unto you, that ye shall not have a vision. It shall be dark unto you, that ye shall not divine. And the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. The sun is Christ, which is this. Which means you've got preachers all over the country that God has closed the book on them. Because they don't believe the Bible anymore. You know what God did? He shut the book on them. They are the ones in Isaiah 28, where they take the book and they say, can you read this? No, I'm sorry, I can't. It's sealed. Okay? Habakkuk, the Lord answered me, write the vision and make it plain on tables. So let's say you had a dream. And you think the dream's from God. If it is, you'll be able to find evidence of it here. Because there's too many people who like to post on YouTube and Facebook their visions about what's happening. And it's usually women. I had a vision about the coronavirus. And I know what's going to happen. And they make big noise. And everybody believes them. And they may be right 2 times out of 5. How many times can they be wrong, though, and we don't have to listen to them? One time. One time they're wrong, God said you don't have to listen to them. That's Deuteronomy 18. So, if you don't trust somebody's vision, Obadiah, or Habakkuk, had a vision and he wrote it down in the book. Trust that. Jesus was able to know the thoughts of men. Jesus knowing their thoughts. Notice this. Jesus knowing their thoughts. Jesus knew their thoughts when Jesus perceived their thoughts. Why? Because he's the Word of God. And the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and is able to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So when you read your Bible, it's your Bible reading you. Amen? Amen? Knowing what you thought. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they're vanity. God said in Isaiah 66:18, for I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues. So God is the one who knows our thoughts. And they're revealed by the word of the Lord. Daniel 2:27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers show unto the king. Notice there's four. Wise men, astrologers, magicians, soothsayers. Daniel had three other with him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream, and the short version of what I want to say right now is, in these days ahead of us, since we don't know what's going to happen, trust your Bible. Amen. Trust it. Read it. Amen. Trust it. Ask God questions. Ask him lots of questions. Aggravate God silly. He doesn't mind. It's what he does for a living. Amen? Is answer prayers with scripture. Amen? So he said, but there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that reveals secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living thing, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. You see, because Nebuchadnezzar asked his wise men, astrologers, magicians, tell me what I dreamed last night. Oh, king, nobody, no king has ever asked that. How can we know what was in your dream last night? King, and Nebuchadnezzar was smart. He said, if you don't tell me what I dreamed last night, then I'll know that all you've done for me is lie through your teeth. And I'm going to cut your head off. How's that? Amen. So types of ESP, telepathy, which is transfer of information into the brain. Telekinesis, moving or manipulating objects with only thoughts. Precognition, foreknowledge of events. Retrocognition, knowledge of past events. Clairvoyance, ability to see with only the mind. Or clairaudience, ability to hear only with the mind. Telepathy, transfer of information into the brain. So when they put, when they put the neural net into people's brains, they will have a sixth sense that wasn't given to them by God. And they will be gods. Because they will be able to access any information that they want. So, here is Whirlpool. Same thing, front loader, sixth sense. See the number there? Here it is here. Remember, the number six. I have a whole website on this called 66alert.net. And my wife, I take her out every Friday shopping up until now. And she always sees me. I'm taking pictures of packages, stuff on the shelves. And she'll like, didn't you take that same picture last week? I said, no, hon, it's something completely different. Every week I go out, there's something new with a hexagon or three hexagons or three sixes, especially at Costco and Sam's. They love to package things, six of this, and six of this. And they put it right on the label for you. Huh? Six rolls of toilet paper. Why six? Okay. But pushing the idea of a sixth sense, your dryer knows what you're thinking. Okay? Now we have smart refrigerators that can tell you by way of your phone how much milk you have, how many eggs you have. Hey, the cabbage is getting rotten. Throw it out. We're there now. This was 4 years ago. Okay, 4 years ago that ad came out. Sixth Sense Technology. Look at this. Here's a company that is doing Sixth Sense Technology. And I want you to notice what that guy's doing with his fingers. Notice the tips of his fingers. What do you see? One of them's red. One of them's yellow, one of them's blue, one of them's green. Why? It's the four elements. Green is earth, blue is air, no, yellow is air because of the sun, red is fire, blue is water. Four elements. So, take a look at, let's see, that ad. Earth, air, here, earth, fire, water. Gypsum, that's a drywall ad. Why don't you advertise just drywall? Sheetrock. Okay? So why... why would all of this secret advertisement methods be used? Why use hexagons? And so if you go to the website, I have hundreds of examples. Okay? And I'm setting you up for what I'm going to show you here in a little bit. Why use that? Why do it? Okay? Has anybody ever heard of perception without awareness? The old term for it was subliminal suggestion. Have you ever heard of that? So what does it mean? It means I slipped something, an idea or a concept, into your subconscious. Okay? So let me explain how that works, and let me explain it with Scripture. Turn to John 10. Here's how I explain it. You do have five senses. And last night or yesterday, I showed you about the brain. And your brain is absolutely amazing. Right now, right at this very moment, your brain is taking in information that your consciousness is not aware of. Because you're sitting in a chair, right? Can you feel the chair? Right? Okay. But before I mentioned it, you weren't thinking of it, were you? But that doesn't mean that your brain and your nerves stopped feeling the chair. Okay? You just weren't thinking of it at the time. Okay? Is there a fan on right now? Can you hear it? You were hearing it before I said the word fan, but you weren't thinking of it. Okay? Everybody look at me. Okay? A while ago you were looking at the screen. Was I still standing here? Your brain knew that I was still standing here because your eyes, because you can see, I can see my finger right here. And I'm looking at you. I can see my finger right here. Wiggling. Okay? How can I do that? Peripheral vision. Every second of every waking hour, your brain is taking in all this information, but you're not consciously aware of it because you may be focused. If anybody says they can multitask, they're lying through their teeth. Because you really can't. And you know how I know? Because people wreck their cars every day doing this. What am I doing? They think they can multitask. They can't. They end up killing somebody else or themselves. Okay? So your conscious brain is focusing on me right now, but your subconscious is taking in the sound of the fan, the fact that she's taking her little boy this way. See, your subconscious would have known it, but you were focused on maybe the screen or me or her baby or whatever. Okay? And that's my point. You have two brains, your conscious brain, what you're focusing on, and your subconscious brain. And your subconscious brain takes in a whole lot more information than your conscious brain does. So I put a picture up here of a guy that actually is a master of this. Mental magic. There really is, there may be such thing as mental magic. But a mentalist knows how to put things in your brain without you knowing it. I'll give you a couple of examples, okay? I saw David Blaine do this on a TV special he did. And that blew me away because I'm going, how did he do that? I've studied magicians all my life. I'm not a magician. I'm not very good at it. I can do a couple of tricks. But I've always wanted to know how they did it. So David Blaine on national television, nationally broadcast television show, he said, I'm going to take a deck of cards and I'm going to flip through it real fast. And I want you to pick any card you see out of that deck, and I want you to think of it. So he flips through the deck, and I'm going, seven of hearts. And I'm going, there is no way in the world he knows that I picked. Because he pre-recorded the program. He wasn't doing it live, so he didn't read my mind. Flip through the deck. He said, let me do it again. Flip. I went, yep, seven of hearts. Okay? So all of a sudden, he throws the cards up in the air at a window, and inside the window is stuck to the window, seven of hearts. And I went, how do you do that? Do what? Nope. No.
Mm-mm.
Huh?
He gave you that number.
How?
Through the imagery in the show.
Here's what he did. No, here's what he did. It's a very simple trick. I could do it to you if I, unless I tell you the trick. If I told you, I'll kill you. CIA secret. I have a security clearance. No. He put... It's very simple. He put two seven of hearts in the deck back to back. So when he flips through the deck, the only one that you can actually catch is the seven of hearts. Every one of them is a blur. I rewound the recording and I watched it until I went, oh, that's how he did it. It's very easy. Now you're going, well, that was simple. I love these guys, how they work. He had a card in his hand, and it had five words written on it. Yeah, five words. And he said, he took a guy on the street, and he said, I'm going to flash his card just like this. And he said, I want you to then tell me the first word that comes to your mind. The guy says, okay. So he goes, flip like that. And the guy said, apple. When he held the card up, there were five words on there, and none of them were apple. However, the first letter of each word was capitalized, and it spelled apple. That's how your brain works. Okay? Who in here, and be honest, it's not some evil thing the devil's doing to you. Who in here sees the same number all the time, everywhere you go, on a clock? It's okay. You're not possessed. Okay? What number?
9/11.
Is that what yours? What's yours, Scooter? 11/42. Who else? What's yours?
11/11.
Mine is 11/34. And I'll tell you why. I'm a child of the 70s. 70s was the time when digital calculators first came out. Remember that? Okay? And my sister showed me this. She says, you type in 1134 on a digital, because they're all block letter, block numbers. She turned it upside down, it said hell. And I'm going, oh, that's funny. That's a dirty word. So that stuck with me all my life. And every day, I look at the clock on the computer, 1134. Every day. I'll be sitting there, and I'll go, what time is it? 1134. Ah! Did it again. Now, why do I do that? Number one, because I'm so used to doing it, that I still do it. Remember, your subconscious brain takes in a lot more information than your conscious brain does. Okay? And my subconscious brain is checking the clock out. And when that clock on my on the lower part of the window screen hits 11:34, it sends a notice to my conscious brain. Look at the clock. 11:34. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, we know 9/11 sticks out in everybody's mind, right? Okay, now, let's apply this biblically to John 10. John 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So, what did Jesus, how does Jesus come to somebody? Behold, I stand at the door and I get your attention. I want you to think on me. Soberly. Thank you. Huh?
That's really interesting because a lot of the old preachers used to say that no man has a right to appeal to your emotions before he does your intellect. So when he preaches the word of God to you, he should appeal to your intellect, not to your emotions.
Remember what I showed you last night about the brain. Who's in charge, the intellect or the emotions?
Right.
Left brain, intellect. So how does the devil come in? Some other way. So he said to him, the porter openeth. Porter is a guy who guards the port. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now we know the devil's going to lie to everybody and deceive them, right? But he never comes through the door. Ever. So, everybody look right here. Okay? Now, while you're staring at that, what can you tell me is to your left and to your right? Can you see what's to your left and your right? But now you're focusing on what's on your left and right. Okay? And you're actively thinking about what's there. But your brain is taking it in nonstop. So, subliminal, here's the difference between your conscious mind and your unconscious mind. Your unconscious mind is bigger. It takes in more information. Mentalists know this. Advertising agents know this. Movie directors know this. Commercial TV producers know this. Music writers know this. They know how to slip things in some other way. You know what the word serendipity means? Serendipity means like the time I was at Walmart in the checkout line and I just happened to look down, there was a $10 bill down there. I reached down and picked it up, stuck it in my wallet. I wasn't looking for a $10 bill. It was serendipitous that I found it. Back before, when I was a pastor and I wasn't right, I ordered some Bible studies from Serendipity Publishing. And what they were all about was a sneaky way to introduce Jesus. I didn't know any better, but I didn't use them. Okay? So you understand now how the devil, he speaks in symbols, he speaks sideways, and comes in some other way to implant ideas in people's minds. And the more he does it, the more likely they are going to be to choose what he wants them to choose. That makes sense. Okay? Other Bible versions. There you go. Isaiah 7. So think of the sheepfold as your brain. Jesus will come to you this way, you reading the Bible, hearing the preacher. That's how Jesus will come to you. The Antichrist is going to come in a different way. Back door, side entrance. Anything else other than direct on conscience. Okay? So take a look at that. That was on CBS Morning News. Obamacare price hike. What do you see? Hexagons. What do you see? Oh, look at their logo. What do you see? That's from a movie. There it is again. The hexagons are here, by the way. That's from the movie Independence Day 2, here. Here's a website, Hexagons. This is from Superman Returns, I think. See this? This was in the movie The Matrix. The very beginning, when they're trying to figure out the phone call. Okay, that's where that's from. See it here? Sid Roth, his show, It's Supernatural. See this logo here? What is that? Remember what I told you what that meant? And they're fused together, aren't they? It's the oil of the Antichrist. Look at that. Inspiration, knowledge, insights. Kleenex. Flow nose. Makes it flow out of your nose. Okay. And do you know what their commercial says? Six is better than one. Six is better than one! Well, he said what? I thought he didn't hear me. Isn't that what they? Isn't that what their commercials say? Six is better than one. Flo knows. That's pretty good, wasn't it? Here's six of them, surrounding one in the center here. Okay, we're not ignorant of devices. So this is what I presented at the Fargo conference. So you remember, so 9/11, right? And now you know why, because that day stood out, right? Older generations, where were you when JFK was killed? You remember? Okay. Notice he didn't tell us. Thought that was interesting. Yeah. Sleepy Joe over here. Yeah. I'm running for Senate. Yeah. But our generation, we remember where we were, what we were doing when we found out the planes flew into those buildings. So the buildings, and so notice all the different logos that use the buildings as an 11. Okay? All of them do. That stands out in our mind. So it was Flight 11 that flew into the 11 buildings on 9/11. They were 110 floors tall, 11 times 10. Okay? So go to Genesis 11. What does Genesis 11 mean? The number 11. What happened in Genesis 11? The Tower of Babel. Man, it's 8 o'clock. I'm going to be here. We're going to be here till about 12. Yeah, 11:34. Or I'll stop at 9:11. How's that? The whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. This was the beginnings of a new world order. And God came down because of their imaginations. Okay? So whose top may reach into heaven. So, imagine how I felt when I found a brochure advertising the office space for the Twin Towers that said the closest some of us will ever get to heaven. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. So God said, though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. Obadiah said the same thing. Obadiah is like the next page over. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Notice that he said, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle.
Yeah.
Apollo what? 11. What's he got in his claws? A branch. What do eagles carry branches to do with? Build a nest. Okay? And it was Aldrin and Collins and Neil Armstrong that designed the logo, the patch for Apollo 11. They designed it themselves. So I know that Neil Armstrong was a Mason, but I don't think Aldrin and Collins were. Okay? So does that mean that they weren't in on it? Did they do it on purpose? Were they reading Obadiah and they said, that's us? No. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience does this. Okay? Makes better sense now, doesn't it? So there were 11 manned Apollo flights. I checked. Apollo 1 never lifted off the ground. It was scheduled to fly, but they never made it off the ground. Those three guys burn up in that capsule. There was no Apollo 2, no Apollo 3. Apollo 4, 5, and 6 were unmanned flights. So Apollo 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. They were all manned flights. Apollo, there was 11 manned flights. And Apollo was the sun god riding his chariot across the sky. That's what Jason and I talked about today. So then the Pentagon on the same day. Remember that? The Pentagon groundbreaking was 9-11, 1941. Exactly 60 years later, to the day. And it was Flight 77, and the building is exactly 77 feet tall. Coincidence, right?
Yep.
I don't believe in it. By the way, it sits on longitude 77. So that's three.
Wow.
You guys keep saying wow. You're saying it backwards, though. So here's a book that Crowley wrote called Liber, which means book 77. And let me read a little bit of what he said. Man has the right to think what he will, to speak what he will, to write what he will, to draw, paint, carve, etch, mold, build as he will. That's contrary to the law of God. Yeah. To dress as he will. That's contrary to the law of God. Man has the right to love as he will. That's contrary to the law of God. He was the Antichrist. Yeah. Or an Antichrist. Man has the right to kill those who would thwart these rights.
Wow. Wow.
Man. Jesus was listed 77 names between Jesus and God in Luke chapter 3. So is this Jesus? No, it's the opposite of. With the number 77. Okay. So 9-11... In Revelation 9, you can turn there. Remember what Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. So, in the days of Noah, where did the water come from? Two sources. The windows of heaven opened, so it came down from heaven, and then it came up from the earth. So what's going to happen in the book of Revelation? Where are all the devils coming from? They're coming down from heaven, Revelation 12.
Yep.
They're coming up from the heart of the earth, Revelation 9.
Yep.
That's the flood that's coming. So when John is describing these locusts, they were like horses, crowns like gold, faces of men, hair of women. This is, makes them opposites. Teeth of lions, breastplates of iron. There is the sound of the chariots of many horses, tails like in a scorpion, stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months, but he's not done. There is an 11th description, and it's in Revelation 9:11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name what? Apollo. So now it's starting to make sense. But this is how the devil speaks. He speaks in a mystery, a symbol, a secret, a whisper, but never plainly. The great, the official great seal, the United States of America, has 9 feathers here and 11 feathers here. This is the one that's used on official United States documents. And that's an eagle, right? In Islam, they have the 99 names of Allah. He's the God who has many names. We all worship the same God. He just has many names. One of those names is Destroyer, the bringer of death. So they have beads that they pray with. But it doesn't have 99 beads on it. It has 33 of them, and they pray through them 3 times. Dun, dun, dun. Remember the movie The Patriot? Very beginning, he's building a rocking chair. Right? If you've ever seen the movie The Patriot, he's making a rocking chair, and he's not good at it because they keep collapsing. And he puts it on a set of scales, and he says, 9 pounds, 11 ounces. That's perfect. Who weighs a rocking chair? I mean, any carpenters here, who weighs the 2x4 before you put it in the house? That's funny, isn't it? But do you remember what was said at the end of the movie The Patriot? Your son said that we could build a whole new world. Remember the movie Independence Day? When the White House is destroyed, this was what was on the laptop just before it, 9/11. The movie Armageddon, which is about the end of the world, 9/11. Enemy of the State. This guy here worked for the NSA, which listens to everybody's phone calls, and he was born on 9/11. Problem child. His address is 9/11. Godzilla. They look at the watch at exactly 9/11. Terminator 2, caution, 9 feet, 11 inches. The Peacemaker, which is about a rogue nuclear bomb. See the numbers here? The Matrix, they show this in a second. They show this. The date on here is September 11th, 2001. The movie came out in 1999. Movie called Traffic. Notice they have 9/11 on these boxes and scorpions. Close Encounters of the Third Kind. When Roy Neary is getting the alien download to go to Devil's Tower, Steven Spielberg showed you the radio. See where the dial is? See this number? Here's Roy Neary. That's the character of the movie. They ask him his birth date before he goes on the alien ship. Now, the movie came out at Christmas, December 1977. He said his date of birth was like December 5th, 1944. How many years is that? 33. And I checked Richard Dreyfuss' actual birthday. He was born in 47, not 44. So he was 30 when he made the movie, but his character was 33. So that brings up, ooh, I hate this guy. Ex-transgender man, 33, now identifies as an agender alien. A non-gendered alien. So I cropped off the bottom part of the picture. You didn't need to see that. So, last Saturday, I got up, turned Fox News on, and across the bottom, at least 33 states have declared states of emergency. Now, what does the term at least mean? There's more than that. They picked a number. So I went, So I went looking. 10 new cases detected, all linked to case number 33. 33 new coronavirus cases confirmed in Massachusetts. The World Health Organization, they named it a pandemic on 3/11. Remember what I told you Corona was? Means crown. The word virus is a Latin word. It literally means poisonous substance, like poison, the sap of plants. Deuteronomy 32:33 says, their wine is the poison of dragons, the cruel venom of asps. Okay? So, what is a virus? I think I said this yesterday. It's a capsule that contains a packet of DNA or RNA. And the RNA, the capsule, once it goes into the body, like from the hands, I wore gloves today at Walmart, didn't I? Had my gloves on at Walmart. So you can touch something with that, because that capsule is meant to protect it from whatever. But it's just like the outer shell of a seed. Once you put the seed into the ground, what happens to the shell? It dissolves. It corrupts. It dissipates. So once the virus gets into the body, because I just went like this, real close to my mouth, and believe it or not, you always have just a little bit of saliva right here. So it gets into your body, it finds a cell, it stings the cell, injects itself into it, and then injects the code, the genetic code, and attaches it to your DNA. In some cases, some viruses, like with herpes, the change that it makes is permanent. You never don't have that for the rest of your life. Okay, you have herpes once you get it for the entirety of your life, because it literally adds itself to your DNA and it stays there. It's permanent. It's a permanent transformation. Okay, so here is DNA. It's a book that God wrote. So do most Mormons get saved? No, because the change, adding the Book of Mormon to the Bible, is permanent in most cases. They never convert, almost never. Especially Mormon missionaries. Don't try to convert them, because their minds are like so super zapped with Mormonism that they're not listening to you talk. They're thinking ways around what you're saying. Yes, sir.
I just saw YouTube where a Mormon missionary had been approached by a Baptist preacher in Florida, and he became a Christian.
Good for him. But I knew a guy that was a Mormon missionary, and he said he had never, in all his years, he had never heard of a case of a Mormon missionary being converted on their mission. Now, if you want to try it, fine, okay? But I don't talk to him much. Yeah. I used to read comic books when I was a kid, and I actually had this one. The Son of Satan. His name is Damon Hellstrom, and he lived next to Fire Lake. You get that? Lake of Fire. Yeah. And he was a minister by day, man of God by day, and the son of Satan by night. He transformed at night. His birthday was February 2nd. Why? It's the 33rd day of the year. Right? 31 days in January? Jesus was king of the Jews for 33 years. He was born king of the Jews, right? So, when Herod asked, where is he born? They went to the 33rd book of the Bible, the book of Micah. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Is that right?
No.
That's the NIV version. They said Jesus had an origin. He originated. No, he didn't. He always was. Right. Amen?
Amen.
Always was.
Amen.
But they found that in the 33rd book of the Bible. Who put it there?
God
did. Amen? So God does it deliberately and lets you see it. Amen? So if 33 in this case represents Christ, who was 33, then 33 on the other hand represents Antichrist. So here is Bill Murray in a movie called Groundhog Day. What day is Groundhog Day?
February 2nd,
33rd day of the year. So in this movie, what happens? He wakes up and every day is Groundhog Day. He keeps reliving reincarnation. Because what is reincarnation about? It's about you have a bad karma. Dude, you have a bad karma, dude. So you have to be reincarnated hundreds of times until you get better and better and better and better until you can reach nirvana. Now you're a god. And in the movie, he says, I'm a god. And the lady says, you're God? No, I'm not the God. I'm a God. That's what he says. Notice the microphone here. It's channel 33. Do it on purpose. 33rd day of the year is a cross quarter day. I won't get into that. That's witchcraft. But it's a high, one of the sort of secondary high unholy days in witchcraft, along with May 1st, which is the 121st day of the year, which is 11 times 11. So, what movie came out on digital format February the 2nd? What movie came out on February the 2nd on digital format? That one. It was based on a true story, wasn't it? It's about the 33 miners. So think about it. They say the Illuminati's doing all of this. Men are not that powerful. Men cannot coordinate the symbolism of 9/11. But spirits can. So 33 men go down into a pit, a mine. And then that mountain collapsed. Literally, a big chunk, the heart of the mountain they were under, dropped right on top of them. And they made it to a safe room. And the whole world heard about the 33 miners. So they tried to drill down to them. And they had three groups drilling down to them. And the American drill team reached them, took them 33 days to reach them. So then, they pulled each one of them out in a capsule that they called the Phoenix. The Phoenix is the bird that flies into the fire. What's the fire? Hell. And out of his ashes, he comes back to life again. Remember the beast? He's got a deadly wound that was healed. And they're all wearing the same t-shirt because they sent t-shirts down and said, everybody put on these t-shirts. So the 33 rise up from the pit wearing a pentagram. Huh? An inverted upside down falling star pentagram. So Phoenix, Arizona is on the 33rd parallel. In 1998, you had the largest UFO sighting in modern times. Over 10,000 people saw these lights in the sky in Phoenix, Arizona. The governor of Arizona saw it. He called the Air Force Base. What are you guys doing? We're not doing anything. Really? Then what are all these lights in the sky? We don't know. But then, like several days later, the Air Force came out and said, oh, we were dropping flares. Wait a minute. I thought you said you weren't doing anything. Which story is true? Kundalini says that at the base of your spine, you have a serpent coiled up. And he wants to rise through your spine. Remember how many bones you have in your spine? 33. To activate your pineal gland to awaken you. You know what your pineal gland does? It really is an eye. It sees, because your eyelids are real thin. And in the morning, when light comes through the window, which really irritates me, light comes through the window, your eyes can see it through the shades of your eyelids, and that signal goes to your pineal gland, which stops producing melatonin. Melatonin does what? Makes you sleepy. So when the pineal gland's activated, it makes you go to sleep. But they call that an awakening. Remember what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5. They that are asleep, sleep in the night. They that are drunk, be drunken in the night. But we are not of the night. We are children of the day. Therefore, let us not sleep as do. Bada boom, bada bing. How many levels is there in Scottish Rite Freemasonry? 33. Same here in Kabbalah. There are 22 paths here which connect to these 10 what Manly Hall calls divine globes. These are the 10 kings. The 22 paths are the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet and the 22 amino acids that your DNA is written in. So 22 plus 10 is what? What happened? Is what? 32. But we have a hidden one right here. Now we have 33. Do you see a man here now? He's a silhouette man. He's hidden. He's occulted. He's secret. It's the Antichrist. Scottish Rite Temple in Washington, D.C. This building has 33 pillars. The 33 here Albert Pike's book, Morals and Dogma. This worshipful master. By the way, how many masters can you have? No man can serve. So why do some Christians say, I'm a Mason? Because they have a guy in the lodge named Worshipful Master, mm-hmm. whom they bow before. Yeah. Reg Kelly told me, his dad, back before they were saved, dad said, son, go to the Masonic Lodge. His dad was a Mason. Reg said, they put a hood over his head, blindfold, told him to kneel. When they pulled that hood off, he's knelt in front of a guy they called Worshipful Master, and he said, I was lost, and I knew that wasn't right. So he got out. So then, this is Reg. He's sitting in the diner, and these guys come in. They're part of the lodge, and Reg has some of those chick tracks about masonry in his church, and they said, you need to get them tracks out of your church. They're telling lies. So what are you talking about? He said, them ones on masonry. Reg looked at him, he said, what are you guys going to do, slip my throat from ear to ear or what? And as he said, they ran out. What's one third? Yeah, 33. Third part of the stars of heaven. That's where that comes from. How many gods do they serve in Hindu? The 330 million gods are the one-third of the angels that are going to get kicked out of heaven. That's who they worship. So, now there's a Joshua 12. Oh, turn Joshua 12. I love this. How old was Jesus? Okay, let's examine this for a minute. Let's look at the base number, 3. What's created on day 3 of creation? Seed. Seed. Paul said that the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15 was like putting a seed in the ground. The seed you put in the ground doesn't look like what comes up out of the ground. He said that's how it is in the resurrection. There's three parts to every seed. So in Genesis 3, what is it that Satan is drawing Eve's attention to? The fruit. And because she ate the fruit, now there is enmity between Satan and who? The woman. And between thy and her. Pretty interesting, isn't it? But she sees lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. So follow this number. So now Adam and Eve are sinners. What about their sons? Was Cain a sinner? Cain slew Abel. So their first two sons are out of the picture. Who's the third son? Seth. Seth is who we all came from. So then follow Seth's lineage down to Noah. How many sons did Noah have? Were they all sinners? Just like their father. So then trace that down to Abraham. We have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So then Jacob has the 12 tribes. First he has Simeon, and then, or no, Reuben, Simeon, and then who? The third born son is Levi. What's the third book of the Bible? Leviticus. And what is that? What does Leviticus deal with? The price of sin. And it has 27 chapters in it, which is 3 times 3 times 3. And it's a picture of the New Testament, which has 27 books. So let's skip forward to Jesus now. Jesus, 30 years old when he starts his ministry, 33 years when he's crucified, sold for how many pieces of silver? 30. And how many crosses are on Golgotha? So it's Christ conquering sin. You get it? So look at Joshua 12. Now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the other side Jordan toward the rising of the sun from the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon and all the plain of on the east. Moses killed Sihon, king of the Amorites, and then Og, king of Bashan. And both of those guys were giants. Right? So Moses kills two. Then in that same chapter, we find out that Joshua killed 31. That's 33 total. So to get to the promised land, 33 kings have to be killed. Do you get that? Those 33% of those angels are in our place, in our mansion. Christ died for their defeat. He conquers, he makes a show of his enemies openly on the cross, Colossians says. So he defeats them at Calvary when he's 33, and a third of the angels now are cast out of heaven, and we're going to go get in their place. Somebody say amen. Amen. But we're not done. Now turn to 1 Kings 20. You ever heard of the song, The God of the Mountain? The God of the mountain is the God of the valley, right? Yeah. That song comes from 1 Kings 20. And what does it mean? Well, we have Ben-Hadad, and he gathers 32 kings with him. That's 33. Mm-hmm. So I counted, this is the front cover of Morals and Dogma. And I counted the stars here. Stars are angels, right? Yep. So there's 32 of them. The king over them makes it 33. Just like 1 Kings 20. This Bible's got the answer to everything in it. So, a quick rundown of 1 Kings 20 is, the 33 kings fight Israel. But God is with Israel, and they get defeated Because the first place they fight is on a mountain. So the 33 kings go back and get drunk. Because that's what you do when you lose a war. You get drunk. So they go back and get drunk. And they said, well, their gods are the gods of the mountains. But their gods ain't the gods of the valleys. So we'll go after them again in the valley. The mountain was Calvary. Place of the cross. The valley is Armageddon. So when they go after them again, what happens? They got whooped again. 33. Listen, follow Jesus. He's going to win every time. Amen. Paul said, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph. Always, Jason. You are always triumphing, even when you think you're defeated. Always. See, God's version of triumphing is crucifying his only begotten son, which looks like defeat, doesn't it? 3 days later, what happened? Amen? The United Nations logo has 32 sections centered around the north, 33. Jeremiah said, then the Lord said unto me, out of the north, an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. The CIA logo has 32 points, and there's a picture of George Bush standing right here. Have you ever seen that? You ever seen that picture? You Google that when you get home. George Bush CIA logo. And he's standing right there in that spot. Dun, dun, dun. The Japanese flag, the old Japanese flag, World War II. This is the sun god. This represented the emperor, Hirohito. And there were 16 red rays and 16 white rays coming out. That's 32, with the sun being 33. The Jesuit logo, same thing. 16 straight lines, 16 crooked lines. 32 surrounding their logo. Jesuits are Antichrist. The NFL has 32 teams and one commissioner. Now, so that's 33, right? Now, you would think, well, maybe that's whatever. But who watches football? Who watches football? NFL. You remember several years ago when they changed the point after kick line? They did. Because, like, that was the easiest kick in the world to make, right? And they moved it back. They moved it back, so now it's 33 yards exactly. Dun, dun, dun. There were 32 Apollo astronauts with Deke Slayton as the head of all the astronauts in the Apollo program. 33. What do these two numbers add up to be? It's Bon Scott. He sang Highway to Hell. He made it. He was 33 years old. That's David Koresh. Branch Davidian compound. Burnt in the fire at 33. Okay? Now, you want to hear something weird? When Bill Clinton, what are you laughing at? Of course we want to hear something weird. We're here listening to Mike Hoggard. When Bill Clinton was governor of Arkansas, he was a known weirdo. He visited ladies of the evening constantly. His bodyguards were Arkansas State Patrolmen. When Clinton got to be president, he says, hey, I'll give you guys a promotion. So he gave some of his bodyguards a promotion to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. They're the ones who made the raid on the Branch Davidian compound. They were the ones who were killed in the initial raid, the Branch Davidian compound. Yeah, Clinton body count. They waited. Timothy McVeigh was supposed to be executed when he was 32. But the Attorney General issued a stay of execution because he said, we have other evidence to look at. So they waited until after his 33rd birthday. Then they lay him on a table that looks like this. The building had three rows of 11 columns, the Alfred P. Murrah Building. Muhammad Atta, pilot of Flight 11, 9/11, was 33 years old. The buildings were 33 years old. Steel construction began 1968. They remember the tribute and lights? The lights they lit in the night? 33 nights, exactly. The Virginia Tech shooter killed 32 students and himself. Kobe Bryant dies. They honor him not by putting his NBA jersey number up, but his high school number up, which was 33. Remember the Heaven's Gate cult? They were, because the UFO was going to come and take them into the heavenly planet. So they died. Where they died was Rancho Santa Fe, which is 33 degrees, 30 north latitude. And their shroud they were all covered in was 3x3. Exactly. Pope John Paul I, let me tell you about him. If there was ever a decent pope, he was it. I read a book about him. Because I read it in college because it interested me that the Vatican, and here's this pope that's killed, and I saw a book at the bookstore. I forgot what it was called, but it was written by a newspaper journalist. And he went into the sordid details of his death. The fact that the Vatican Bank was laundering money from all over the world. Okay? Crooked as a dog's back leg. Okay? And the Vatican Secretary of State was a Italian Freemason. And there was a group. The Vatican supposedly stands against Freemasonry, but the Vatican at that time was full of Freemasons. Okay? So John Paul I, Albino Luciani, becomes Pope, and he does an investigation into the Vatican banking. It's linked in with the Chicago Mafia, Paul Marcinkus. It's linked in to a lot of things going on in London. In fact, one of the guys ended up being hung at the London Bridge, Masonic symbol. Okay? So anyway, Pope John Paul I was going to get rid of a lot of the people at the Vatican the next day. He had a list of people he was going to get rid of, including the Secretary of State of the Vatican. And they found him dead the next morning. No autopsy. 33 days after he became Pope, he died. You remember that? Because, like, he's Pope, and then all of a sudden he's dead. And I'm going, why did they elect him Pope if he was that sick? What, has it been a month? No, it was 33 days exactly. And he was 66. So was Jeffrey Epstein. He was 66. 33, they indicted him July 8th. He died August 10th. 33 days exactly. Dun, dun, dun. Now, I don't know why it didn't show up. But all those, you know, those news articles where the virus in 33, I found 60 of them. 60 internet websites with headlines with the virus and the number 33 in the headline. 33 in Arkansas, 33 in Louisiana, 33 in Massachusetts, 33 in Wyoming. Bill Gates said 33 million are going to be infected. Really? China has closed off 33 million people to keep the virus from spreading, but it didn't work. The coronavirus, the official name of it is Corona 33. COVID. Yeah, well, no, that's COVID-19. But somebody sent me something, and I didn't have a chance to look into it. But it has to do with the number of amino acid hits that it has. There's like certain markers on amino acids, and this virus has exactly 33 markers on it in its DNA. Okay? So something is trying to pound subconsciously this number in everybody's mind for some reason. And I think the Bible gives us the answers. Amen?